Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Get breaking sports news here. WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. I've been saying it for what feels like months and months and months, and that is the Giants need to reunite with Odell Beckham Jr. I look at this locker room, especially in the wide receiver room, and I see guys like Darius Slayton, who stinks. I see guys like Jalen Hyatt, who stinks. And I see Odell Beckham Jr., even at this stage of his career, and I understand you're not getting prime Odell here. I'm not looking for prime Odell. But even at this point in his life as a football player, Odell gives you more than those two guys, especially Hyatt. And when you consider that Odell, in my opinion, won a championship and was very instrumental in that run to the Super Bowl, and then was great in the Super Bowl before he hurt his knee for the Rams. This is a guy that has, I think, matured through the years. He would be a great locker room presence as a veteran wide receiver. He could still, I think, make a play here or there for your young, budgeting superstar quarterback in Jackson Dart. He's a guy, Odell, that has played under John Harbaugh in Baltimore, so he has a familiarity with the head coach. He has a friendship that is growing with Jackson Dart. And of course, the vibes that he is going to bring as he is back on the Giants, the place where it all started, where he had so many electric moments. There were some, obviously, some moments that drove people nuts as well, and ultimately, he was traded out of here, but there were many, myself included, that were upset at the time. Obviously, the trade in many ways worked out for everybody, but it's nice to get Beckham back here. I've been screaming it and championing it for months now. To me, it made total sense. And I was thrilled last night when I saw the news that Beckham was coming in for another workout. I thought that was a very positive and very encouraging sign that ultimately they would put pen to paper, because it's clear they have mutual interest. If they brought him in for a workout and then a few weeks later they bring him back, I think it was right before the draft was the first workout, or give or take right after the draft. I think it was right before. And here we are, and that was like essentially the last time the Knicks lost a playoff game. Here we are now, about a month or so later, and Odell is returning home. to cap his career off in the place that it started. And I'm here for it. And I think the Odell circus that the naysayers are pointing towards is not going to be appearing in his run with the Giants. I think you get a more mature, humbled Odell Beckham Jr., a guy that is really at the back end, final year of his, you know, this is it. This is a chance for him to end it with the Giants, the place that it started. And whether it's the locker room, veteran leadership presence that he could be, especially in the wide receiver room for your young quarterback in Jackson Dart, a guy that has been through it, that has won a Super Bowl, that has traveled around the league, and also just the vibes that he brings for the fan base. A lot of people grew up, they love Odell, they wanted to see him back here, they didn't want to see him go in the first place. So the storybook kind of ending where Odell ends his career with the Giants is a really cool thing, and I'm here for that when it comes to vibes. And obviously, I think he can bring some leadership here, and there's familiarity, not just within the organization, but also with the head coach, and now with the quarterback, as it seems like Jackson Dart and Odell have become friends off the field. And that friendship will be good to have around with this team. Because your most prized possession is Dart and your head coach. Nobody's expecting Odell to turn back the clock and be the electric, amazing receiver that he was when he came out of LSU. Nobody is expecting the version of Odell Beckham that was on the Rams. That was a big part of that run to the Super Bowl and was awesome in that game until he blew his knee out. Nobody's expecting any of that. A play here, a play there, locker room leader. He's better than some of the wide receivers they have in that room. And just the idea of reuniting him in the place where it all started and being kind of that grizzled vet now, all these years later, and the vibes with the fans and amongst his teammates. I don't think you get a salty Odell here. I don't think you get a guy who's going to cause problems or going to be a diva or going to make it about himself. I think you get it. You're getting an older, more humble, more happy to be here, more appreciative of not only his time with the Giants that he had in the first run, but here to get a second opportunity, a second chance at the back end of his career where everybody knows he's not going to be a super productive player or be really productive much at all, but to have that chance to put that uniform back on again and be a part of hopefully the start of something special, which is the era of Jackson Dart and John Harbaugh, which I know I and a lot of Giant fans are putting stock in, that this is going to be a team that has a lot of success, not only this year, as I have Giant expectations, but for years to come. Now, Odell won't be part of the ride for a long, long time because he's obviously at the back end of his tenure in the NFL, but to have this moment and this year, and we'll see from there, why not? And it's so low risk. And I don't think he will, but if he becomes a problem, all right, you cut bait. If you feel like he just can't do it anymore at this level to any type of degree and it's just not worth him being him on the roster or having him on the roster, then you cut bait. It's a very low risk situation. And that was one of the reasons why I was screaming about it for months and wanting him to be brought back into the fold here. Because it is low risk. It's a cool thing for him. It's a cool thing for the fans. He has ties, obviously, to the head coach and the quarterback. So why not? You could certainly do a hell of a lot worse. And I don't think any of this, including bringing in Berrios, who's going to be more for special teams after the Olszewski injury. So you're obviously going to bring in Berrios for that. And then you bring in a Juju Smith-Schuster as well. I don't think either one of those, including Odell, have anything to do with Malik Nabers and his injury. And by the way, now that we're on the topic of Malik Nabers, and I've been consistent with this. I said this about Scadaboo when he did the angle on Monday Night Raw with the Judgment Day. I had, because everyone was up in arms about that. I said, come on. First of all, it's pro wrestling. The whole idea behind pro wrestling is it's supposed to look like it hurt, but it doesn't hurt. And I get it, he had a major injury, but as Scott explained, he had his foot up on the chair, it was very safe, he's working with professionals, all good. And he came out of that unscathed. Same thing here with neighbors. I'm sure the doctors cleared it. I'm sure the Giants cleared it. It was a charity softball game for Brian Burns. So I have no issue with that. I know neighbors had just had another sort of procedure or surgery, whatever the case may be, and it's possible he's not ready for week one, and maybe he does get put on IR and we see him in week four. But I don't think him having a little bit of fun at a charity softball game is going to make me, especially if it's cleared, and which it was, and all that stuff, I don't have a problem with that. At the same time, I didn't have a problem with Scadaboo. Nor have I had a problem with anything the Giants have done here. I didn't have a problem with Dart introducing the president. I didn't have a problem with Carter going on social media and saying something about it. I really didn't have a problem with the Giants having a press conference on Friday. I thought everybody came out of that looking good, including Jameis Winston. So the Giants had a unified front. I'm sure they wanted to get that press conference out there. I'm sure they wanted to get out the fact that they had a meeting. They're trying to sort of stop the momentum of a story. And obviously politics these days are very much where there's a lot of fighting, that's for sure, verbally. And then people feel very strongly about Trump in one direction. They love him or they hate him, so he's polarizing. So anytime you bring that into the sports realm and there's this type of media market involved and this type of scrutiny and this type of attention on this football team, which I told you this now going back in January, the Giants enter this football season, I believe, as the most talked about team, not only locally but nationally. The eyeballs, and everybody's going to be talking Giants, 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 and Giants because of Harbaugh, because of Dart, because of the expectations, because the Giants are now, it feels like they're back in the league, and the NFL's happy to have him back. They're going to give him all these primetime games. They are drooling about the idea of the Giants being back and being back to a successful franchise because of this market, because they are an OG in the NFL, and they are one of the pillar franchises in the NFL, but they've fallen on really hard times lately. And the league, I'm sure, has missed them as a formidable team in the NFL. So you have that, you have Beckham, you have a lot of neighbors, Scat, there's a lot of personalities, there's a lot of star power, there's a lot of expectations, and it's the Giants, it's the New York team. And anytime you have a New York team, we're seeing it with the Knicks now. It's going to, and they are good, if not great, it's going to draw a lot of eyeballs, a lot of attention, and a lot of people are going to talk about it, whether they love them or they hate them. And that's the way this city is. We have a lot of supporters, and we have a lot of haters. But people have strong opinions about where we live, one way or the other. And I think the Giants go into training camp. They go into this preseason, which is not that far off. We're going to be engulfed in Knicks talk for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then as that fades away, it's basically going to be the start of training camp. You know, got a couple of weeks for 4th of July and the All-Star break and sort of the lazy, hazy days of summer in July. And then the Giants will be reporting to camp in West Virginia, wherever the heck they're going to be. And then it's football, 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 football to go along with the baseball, of course. But the Giants are going to be a major topic, not only here, but across the board. But I am stoked that they brought Beckham back. My expectations are extremely low. It was never about that, per se, as far as production or being the Odell Beckham that we all... Like, I know, and Evan had me on a little bit today because a caller came in and said he was more excited about this news, Beckham coming back to the Giants, than he was when Juan Soto signed with the Mets. I don't know if the guy was just messing around. I didn't hear the phone call, but come on. I'll have what she's having. That's absurd to make that comment. Juan Soto is a generational talent. He's in the prime of his career. He signed a 15-year contract. He picked the Mets over the Yankees. It was just one of the great sports off-the-field moments that I have ever experienced. And now we're seeing, I mean, Juan Soto's having a massive year, and he's just, come on. Beckham, even in his prime, I mean, we're talking about now a guy that is at the back end. It's a hurrah, a final hurrah. It's a goodbye. It's a reuniting. It's a send-off. It's a veteran locker room guy for leadership, which I know wasn't his strength when he first came in the league, but I think that's something that he has now matured and developed into. It's for the vibes of the reunion, and that's it. It's not Juan Soto, who is brought here to be a game changer and a guy that's going to be an integral part of winning a World Series, hopefully many, Beckham is along for the ride. And I'm positive he is appreciative of that. He wanted this badly. He wanted, I think, the goodbye with the Giants and the fans to kind of say, hey, this is where it all started. I obviously moved around a bunch after this, many stops, won a Super Bowl, but now I want to finish it where I started. And I'm cool with that. But yeah, my excitement level for getting the news when I woke up today, which was inevitable. I had a feeling when I went to bed last night, I'm like, I'm going to wake up and Beckham's going to be a Giant. If not, by the time I wake up, a couple hours after that. Because I did it overnight. I'm sleeping in. And I got a cat. What's the cat's not waking me up? I don't have any kids. I don't have a human alarm. The cat just goes about his business. That's why we have a great relationship. He needs me for a few things, but he's not, you know, he'll jump on the bed with my wife at about 6 a.m. and he'll just sit kind of on her chest and he needs a little bit of cuddle time there for about 15 minutes, but he knows to leave daddy alone. When daddy gets home after hours, he wants to chill out. He wants to relax a little bit and he wants to go to bed. And then as I'm sleeping through the morning, while most of you are, you know, I'm on while you're sleeping, so to speak. When you're up starting your day, I am sleeping. So when I woke up this afternoon and I found out the Beckham news, I wasn't surprised. But I certainly wasn't to the moon like I was when Juan Soto signed with the Mets. It's not even in the same ballpark. Not even close. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Mike in New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
How's it going, Tommy? Hey, can you hear me all right?
I can. What's happening?
So you can tell me I'm wrong, but throughout this entire day, I've been listening to the station, going on social media.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
And I've been beginning to notice that when it comes to the Odell Beckham discourse, there seems to be a sort of generational divide amongst Giants fans and NFL fans, from what I've seen.
So I'm just going to take a guess where the younger fan is more excited for the Beckham thing, and perhaps the older fan is a little bit more either trepidatious or saying, why even bother? And they won't let go of some of the immature antics of Odell when he first was here with the Giants.
Oh, exactly. I talked to people a little bit older than me. I'm 23.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to people older than me, and they're saying they think he's still the Odell that's punching the kicking net, that's going on the boat, that's fighting Josh Foreman.
Whereas yeah, he's proposing to the net, or he's acting like a dog on the sideline and going number one. I think that was a younger player that was in a big city and was clearly, at times, I think some of that's overblown, but you want to say immature or not a team guy, whatever the case may be. I think he's proven himself, though, in his other stops, a big part of the Rams Super Bowl. And he's coming into this situation. How could you not be humbled by the fact that you've been out of the league, you have an opportunity to come back to the Giants? I would be shocked, Mike, if he behaves in the way he used to behave. First of all, he's not going to have those moments as much because he's not going to have the breathtaking, spectacular plays anymore. So he's not going to celebrate like that. He's coming back, I think, as a veteran guy in the locker room, make a play here and there. And if he does act up, Harbaugh is a taskmaster. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's dealt with Beckham in the past. OBJ will be gone if he acts like that. I don't expect him to, but if he is, they'll cut bait.
Yeah, and then there's guys like me, where at my age, like all my friends, none of us are expecting him to be the player he was, but we're all just grateful and just happy that the player that was personally, like, the player that got me into football when I was in middle school is back in the uniform I originally watched him in. Like, it just means the world to me seeing that happen. And like, just seeing the divide where I'm like, we can't we just appreciate the fact that he's even here. I don't even need to see him make it to the regular season, but like a preseason game or two, seeing a couple catches, like, it would be enough for me to just be happy seeing him back.
It'd be closure.
Yeah.
And I think it's closure. And look, you brought up a good point there. Perhaps that's what all this is about. Maybe he, you know, has a couple of moments in a preseason game. He retires as a Giant and he has his moment and everybody has their closure. Not only Odell himself, but we, the fans. And you're 23. I'm a little bit older than you, but I obviously remember his career and I'm happy about it too. And not every player gets this, where they get to come back, return to the team that they drafted, that drafted them, and they get to have sort of a farewell send off and or be a contributor to a team that I hope makes the playoffs this year. Who knows how it ends here, but it's nice that we get the opportunity, and it's nice for Odell, it's nice for us as fans to witness that and to experience it together, because not every player is afforded that opportunity.
Exactly. Like, I personally, it might sound crazy, but I kind of credit Odell for putting me on the path I am in life, where watching him when I was a kid got me into sports, and now I work in sports. Where I'm like, that put me, like, just, but seeing the player that kind of like made me a fan is just great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure, Mike, you're not alone when it comes to Odell. And he has his detractors, but he certainly has a lot of supporters in this fan base. The detractors are always going to be louder. You know that? You know, the vocal minority, so to speak, is always going to be the loudest. Those that hate Beckham, they didn't like some of the things that you just brought up. And they feel like he's a selfish player and a diva, and he's going to be an issue with the locker room. And I just don't see that. And to your point, maybe it does just end after the preseason and they cut bait and he kind of retires as a Giant. And that, for Odell, is what he was looking for. And good on the Giants for giving him that. Not every organization is going to be that gracious. I think his relationship, not only with the team, but also with Harbaugh and Dart, played a big factor in this. He has allies. He has people that want to see Odell because he wanted it badly. I mean, I don't think there's any mistaking that. He probably wanted it more than the Giants wanted it, which is makes total sense. I mean, he's not the player he was. Nobody's expecting that. Nobody is sitting here saying, oh, Odell's going to be a 90 catch, 1,000 yard plus receiver, or even anything remotely approaching that. If he makes the team, if he's on the roster, if he gets you a play here and there and provides you a good clubhouse, locker room, so to speak, guy, and can help that wide receiver room along and help a young quarterback along, great, great. And for a lot of people, just seeing Beckham back on a Giants jersey on the back of it, that'll pump a lot of people up. That'll hit you in the feels. That'll make you feel good. You know what else makes me feel good? That the Eagles are a mess. They traded away A.J. Brown, which everybody saw coming. This is one of those worst-kept secrets in football. You could insert your Diana Rossini jokes if you'd like. I'm not going to. But this was something that we all saw coming and was being reported on for years and years and years and years and years and years. Or at least it felt like years. It ended up only being months, but it was something that felt like years and years and years in the making, because the NFL season, although it feels like it just ended in some ways, it doesn't end ever, and it's always in the news cycle, and there's rumors, and it's sometimes hard to figure out what the heck year we're in when it comes to that league, because it never truly leaves our brain. It never truly leaves the tip of our tongues, And that's what makes the NFL special and so successful. But yeah, this is something that's been in talks for a very long time, and it's finally happened as you knew it would. And I said this because I even pitched possible trades between the Giants and Eagles, which I know is blasphemy, but I did my best there because you knew there was no way, no way. And I'm not sure how people in Philadelphia felt about this. I just know how I feel about it as a Giant fan and looking at the Eagles. I said there was no way that this marriage was going to continue. It was a marriage headed for divorce. When you look at Hurts, Brown, and Sirianni, I said there's no shot all three of them are coming back. You could have two of them gone. You could have one of them gone. But the bottom line is you're not having all three of them return to Philly. There was no chance of that happening. And then ultimately, that's what ended up happening, is that all three of them are not returning for the season, as A.J. Brown is now a member of the Patriots, which is a huge move for them. They were clearly lacking in that department, wide receiver. They didn't have enough explosive players and explosive plays in that Super Bowl against Seattle where they were completely exposed for being a fraudulent team. But now they are a hell of a lot better than they were yesterday, that's for sure, as Drake May gets a true number one stud wide receiver, A.J. Brown, in a new environment where he's not going to be asked to block as much as he did in Philly. New lease on life. I think A.J. Brown still has a lot left in the tank. He's got at least another year or two big years in front of him. He's going to be highly motivated. He's going to be on a winning team and a winning culture and a winning environment and a winning situation. He's going to be reunited with Mike Vrabel. So there's a lot of pie. I think this was the team that he grew up loving, and he was emotional when he wasn't drafted by the Patriots. So there's history with not only the organization, but with the head coach. And he's going to be ready to go to prove that he was being held back with the Eagles, because him being a 100-catch guy for 14,000 yards, that just isn't the way the Eagles roll offensively. And they've had success with that. So it's hard to blame them for going that route. I mean, they won a Super Bowl with that type of strategy. But now A.J. Brown in New England, I expect him to have at least one, possibly two monster years right out of the gate for them. And then we'll see from there. But it's a great move for the Pats. They gave up a bunch, and you could argue, well, they were negotiating with themselves. But you know what? They wanted a player. This is the guy they've identified for months, and they knew he was unhappy. They knew the Eagles were going to get rid of him. I don't care what Howie Roseman, who's the best. It's hard to knock the guy, but I know there was, oh, we're not trading A.J. Brown. Yeah, sure. Okay. I have swamp land in Florida to sell you if you bought that. There was no way they were bringing him back. Because in this situation, like I said, if you have the coach, if you have the quarterback, if you have the wide receiver, and there's going to be a divorce, you're going to pick the wide receiver to get rid of. You're not getting rid of the quarterback. You're not getting rid of the head coach. You're going to get rid of the wide receiver, especially a team that is run-heavy focused. And as important as A.J. Brown is with the blocking and the deep threat at times, it just became too much of a situation that was beyond repair. And then the other major trade today, and I was shocked by this one in terms of the return, Myles Garrett going to the Rams. Now, I loved the Rams last year to win the Super Bowl. It's hard to hate on them again as they added Myles Garrett, a generational pass rusher. But the idea that they got rid of Jared Verse to me is incredible. I can't believe they did that. I know you're getting Myles Garrett. You got to give up something to get him. But Jared Verse is one of the best young defenders in the league. So I was just stunned that they did that. Stunned. And Myles Garrett finally has an opportunity, because we know he was great in Cleveland all these years, but they're not winning anything. And it just goes to show you that, yeah, you could draft all these pass rushers from now till forever, but if you don't have the quarterback, and we know Deshaun Watson was a disaster, we know that they're still trying to figure out their quarterback situation in Cleveland. If you don't have a QB, you're not winning. You could have Myles Garrett, the best pass rusher in the league, putting up insane sack numbers, but it doesn't matter if you're on a team without a quarterback. Now he goes to Los Angeles, Tinseltown, the City of Angels, on a team that has a quarterback and has great wide receivers and has a great culture and has a great head coach. And now, even though they got rid of Verse, who I think is a phenomenal talent, he is a big part of that defense, and they're going to expect him to be a big part of that defense. And in their minds, the missing piece, the thing that gets them over the hump this time, whether it's facing a Seattle or whoever's standing in their way, hopefully it's the Giants, standing in their way in the NFC. But yeah, two major, major trades there in the NFL, in addition to the Giants reuniting with Odell Beckham Jr. Let's go out to Tommy in Ridgefield, Connecticut. What's up, Tommy?
Tommy, how are we doing this evening?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, so I just wanted to make a couple of points because there's a few different ways that I've talked to friends of mine today about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I think it's a no-brainer because what you're adding is a veteran player now who is completely changed, and his outlook would be such an asset for a young star like Malik Nabers to learn how to be a stud in this market and do things in a different way than the lessons that Odell learned the hard way.
Yep, great point.
The discussion that I had with a friend of mine was that he thought this was kind of like a gold watch, sign a one-day deal, retire a Giant, you know. And I said, when I heard that they brought him back for a second workout, I said, I think they want to sign this guy because I know how Harbaugh feels about him. And he really, really likes Odell, and he can still produce. If he gives you 550, 600 receiving yards this year.
Oh, you're thrilled. You're doing a cartwheel. I would say that is beyond best case. So you'd be over the moon. That is beyond best case scenario. If we're standing here or sitting here or whatever you're doing in late December and Odell played throughout the year healthy and put up 500, 600 yards receiving, you are absolutely, and this is assuming that everybody's healthy and he's not getting playing time because people are banged up. Yeah, you're thrilled. You're literally ecstatic into the moon because that would, to me, it'd be best case scenario.
Yeah, I think the biggest important thing is, like, you know, you saw the kids last year, you know, doing their dances and the backflips and, you know, and that all that, that's all well and good, the energy. But, you know, having a wiser, older guy could say, hey, you know, this is when you do it, this is when you don't, and, you know, this is how you become a pro and, you know, play in New York.
Yeah, I think that's a great point because Odell obviously, look, he learned it, you know, learned it the hard way here in New York. And then he went on to have a really nice career and be a Super Bowl champion. And I think change a lot of his ways. And he can instill that not only on Nabers, but guys like Scataboo, guys like Jackson Dart, and him and Dart have already developed a relationship off the field, a friendship off the field. So I think that's important and something you'd like to see grow. Yeah, I to me, it's a no-brainer. It's super low risk. And like you said, if they could get 500 yards receiving, I would be surprised and stunned if that happens, but super thrilled if it does. I think it was a no-brainer, Tommy. We share a brain on that. And that's why I've been calling for it for weeks and months now, because I think Odell can help this team in more ways than one.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And I think he still wants to win because
that
Super Bowl with the Rams when he blew his knee out, you remember seeing how distraught he was? He was going to win the MVP of that.
Yes, he was. Yes, think about that. But it's true. He was going to win because I know, and Cooper Kupp ended up winning it, I believe. So they were willing to give it to a wide receiver. Odell was unbelievable in that run. And you're right. He got, look at his numbers in that game, and he only played a half. He was on his way to winning the MVP of the Super Bowl, which would have been a crowning achievement for a guy that a lot of people wrote off after his time with the Browns.
So, hey, good names, good brains. Like talking to you, Tommy. Have a great night, dude.
Yeah, you got it, Tommy. Excellent name choice, by the way. And some people get on me for the Tommy name choice. They think it's a little immature, a little sophomoric, because they think of Tommy Pickles in Rugrats, which I was a person that watched that show. I didn't get cable till I was a little bit older in life, more of the mid-teens or early teens. I don't know, 13. Yeah, I guess that's the early teens. But still, I wasn't into Nickelodeon when I got cable. I wasn't looking to watch Rugrats or Are You Afraid of the Dark or I know the shows because when I went over friends' houses or family, I would watch them. Legends of the Hidden Temple. What's the one where they shot the stuff, the goo out there? What was that Nickelodeon show? I don't remember the name of it. You know it, Alex?
With what?
In Nickelodeon. Wasn't there one show where they shot, like, green stuff at people? Wasn't there a show like that? It wasn't Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Was it animated?
No. It was real people partaking in...
Oh, with slime.
Slime. That's the word. What did I call it? Goo? Yeah, I meant slime. Yeah, there was a show where you got slimed on Nickelodeon.
They did it for the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah, they still do it. Like, slime is kind of their calling card. But I could have sworn there was a show back in the day. So this would have been in the 90s, early to mid-90s. If anybody remembers it or they think I'm just making something up, hit me up on Twitter at Tommy Lugar, or you can call the show, too. But I feel like there was a show where they used slime, and it wasn't Legends of the Hidden Temple. But, yeah, when I got cable when I was early teens, I was more, you know, you're going through puberty there. So it was like, let me check out what's going on MTV. Ooh, MTV Spring Break. Thank you very much. That's an education. Let me go to TRL. Ooh, music videos with Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears. Right on. Very good education there. Let me go to Howard Stern at night on E! When he's interviewing porn stars. Excellent education there. Let me check out what's going on Girls on Gone Wild. Let me check out what's going on Monday Night Raw. Very good education there. So I wasn't really interested in what was happening on Nickelodeon.
There was one, but it was in the 2000s, so I don't know. Because they had slime that's called Brain Surge. It was like a trivia.
Yeah, no, that wasn't it. Because by the time we got to the 2000s, it definitely wasn't locked in on Nickelodeon. So this would have had to have been something that aired mid-90s, 93, 94, 95, 96. I could have sworn there was a show on Nickelodeon where you would get slimed, and that was part of the either the game show or the, and I don't think it was Legends of the Hidden Temple. It might have been, because again, I didn't watch it all the time because I didn't have cable, but whenever I went over a friend's house or family members that had Nickelodeon or cable, I would definitely check it out. Because
yeah,
it's
some, I watched Legends of the Hidden Temple
yeah.
too. But they
no slime.
No,
definitely not. That was more about endurance and kind of going through whatever they were going through there. Yeah, no, it wasn't that one. I wanted to call it Ooze because of the Secret of Ooze, the Ninja Turtles movie, the second one, which is a great movie. But the Secret of the Ooze. No, that wasn't that. So that's not it either. Figure it out. A Double Dare. Is it Double Dare? Maybe it was Double Dare. Let's check that one out. Double Dare. I'm putting it in the old Google thing here. Was it Double Dare?
Oh, yeah, there is one called Double Dare. I see it.
Yeah, I don't know if that was it either. Let me try this one. Figure It Out. I think it's more Double Dare, but let me go to Figure It Out here on Nickelodeon. Let's see here. I don't think it, I think it was Double Dare. Just because that name, when I hear it, sounds more familiar to me. Double Dare is a game show where two teams compete against each other to win cash and prizes. The two teams compete in trivia and messy challenges. Yeah, I think it was Double Dare. I just, when I hear the name Double Dare, it sounds very familiar. So if you are listening and you're going to hit me up, I think we got to the bottom of it. The one where they use the ooze or the whatever the heck we're calling it was Double Dare. But yeah, Nickelodeon was not my bang by the time I got the, or wasn't my bag, I should say, by the time I got cable, because I was more looking towards, I guess my brain was somewhere else there. I was looking more towards the females that were on television. And it, you didn't have to look any further than MTV Spring Break. I mean, for those of you that grew up in that era, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, that was just absolutely incredible when they went down there. I was like, okay, I'm just going to tune into MTV for the next 7 to 8 hours, and I'm going to enjoy my viewing experience for sure.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt,
every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. Lugie! Here on After Hours. Hopefully everybody had a pleasant Luge evening. Gotcha for another hour and 15 minutes here on The Fan. The phone number to join the conversation is 888-808-1019. I was a little in between a Lugie and a Lugie there. The reason I don't want to say Lugie all the time because dogs get anxiety when I do that. And I got to send the doggies to the doggy shrink. And then there's a doggy shrink bill for the doggy owners out there. And they won't be happy with yours truly. Because apparently, according to a caller I had years ago, never heard back from the fella. So hopefully everything is all good. But he said, Lugie, I love you. You're a generational talent. You're the future of the radio station and the business. But whenever you do Lugie, it sends my dog into a tailspin. And he barks. He can't stop barking. And I didn't realize dogs get anxiety. I will call or plead ignorance on that. But apparently they do. And I just would imagine how many dogs through the years I've sent to the shrink and how many dogs have been sitting on the couch talking to their shrink, or I guess in this case, barking at their shrink. Although when dogs are together, I in my world, they just talk to each other and speak English. But how many times have they sat on the couch and said, boy, there's a host, Lugie. And he goes, Lugie, and I just want to chase around my tail. So I was in between on that one, whether I wanted to go, Lugie, 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 or Lugie. People love to hate it, too. The Lugie thing, people love it, people hate it. But, you know, deep down, you'd miss it if I ever took it out of the arsenal. And plus, we wouldn't be able to say, have a pleasant Lugie evening, which is something you want to have. And we're all having as Knicks fans, that's for sure. And I think Giant fans across the board, too, you know, for the most part, as far as the expectations going into the season and the reuniting with Odell today. Mets are on a winning streak. We're monitoring their situation out in Seattle as they start a West Coast trip as well. Yankees are off tonight. Let's head out to Pete in New Jersey. What's up, Pete?
Yo, Lugie, what's going on, brother?
What's happening?
I got to ask you. So you're a double dare. Before that, there was a show called, what's it called? Can't Do That on Television. That's where the slime originally came in.
You can't do that on, this is what I'm being told, you're not the first. You Can't Do That on Television was a show in Canada in the early 80s, late 70s. And I guess Double Dare, you know, kind of took that concept of where they would slime people after, you know, they got a question wrong or something like that. But the show I was definitely thinking about on Nickelodeon was Double Dare. So I appreciate a million people hit me up about it. It was Double Dare. That was the one I was trying to get at.
They actually go on the road to, like, different places and do, like, live audience shit and get everyone, you know.
Well, we can't say that one word here. Yeah, that's all good.
Yeah, all right, sorry about that.
No,
so
no,
here's my question for you. So, Knicks in 6 or 7, and do you still believe in the Mets?
Okay, I'll take it one by one. It's Knicks in 5 for me. I think they are going to win this series in 5 games for a few reasons. Number one, the Spurs, to me, had a look of a team on Saturday night that won their championship. You saw it in the emotion. You saw it in the tears. that was a major hurdle for San Antonio to climb. You're talking about the defending champs. You're talking about a team that they're going to see in all likelihood in the Western Conference Finals for years and years and years to come. So to battle back from 3-2, three games to two, and win a game seven in OKC, a place that's not easy to win when you're an opponent, to beat the Thunder back-to-back games, something that does not happen to them in the playoffs, that was a major accomplishment for the Spurs. They're ahead of schedule. This team shouldn't be in the finals yet based on their youth. They're just learning how to win these series. They're a year or two away in my estimation. And that youth, when you're talking about their three stars, when you got Wemby, you got Castle, you got Dylan Harper, you're looking at three guys that are all under the age of 23. They're only going to get better and better and better. The Knicks are catching them at the perfect time. Usually, you have to have a crushing playoff series loss before you're ready to win a championship. That's the way it goes. The Knicks have had plenty of them. So whereas the Spurs lack in experience, the Knicks have it in spades. This team is battle-tested, not only together, but they got guys like Bridges that have made it to the finals. They got guys like Karl Anthony Towns who made it to the Western Conference Finals. This team is connected, the Knicks are. The continuity, the chemistry, and it's human nature. If you're the Spurs, yeah, you want this championship, you want this chip, but in the back of your mind, you know, if this series gets tough, and the Knicks are playing the way they played in their last 11 straight playoff victories, it would be human nature for the Spurs to say, all right, well, you know what? We got a long window here. If we lose this one, we're ahead of schedule. We had a great Western Conference Finals. We knocked off the defending champs. We'll win a championship next year. We'll win 3 out of 4. We'll win 5 championships in the Wemby era. We'll have our time. But it wasn't our time now. It was the Knicks' time. Whereas the Knicks, this could be their one and only chance with this group. And they have to know that in the back of their minds or in the front of their minds. This is our best opportunity to win. The depth, the health, everything, the road to get here, the way we're playing. You could put all of those things in the center of the table and say, this is the best chance to win a championship. We have to strike while the iron is hot. We have to seize the moment. There is no next year. There is no 2 years from now. There is no decade-long window when you have a guy like Wemby. That's what you're staring at. When you have Stephon Castle, when you have Harper, when you have these young stud players, you can take a loss like this in the finals and say, you know what? We had a great year. Nobody expected us to get to this point. We got there. We knocked off the defending champs. We planted our flag in OKC and said we are the standard for the Western Conference. The road to the finals year in and year out is going to go through San Antonio, and teams like the Thunder are going to have to deal with that. That's a big year for San Antonio at this stage of the maturation process of their young superstars, led by the superstar of superstars on that team, and that's Wemby. But that's not the situation the Knicks are in. The Knicks are in a do or die. There is no losing here. It is not in the conversation. It is not even an option. So I think with that mentality, the Knicks will win this series. They will win it quickly. They will win it at times in dominating fashion. They will continue this streak that they're on, and they will wrap this series up in 5. I've been saying that now for over a week, but since it's official and this is the matchup, that is my prediction. And the lack of depth on San Antonio will also be a big problem. You're going to throw a lot of bodies at Wemby. He's going to get in foul trouble. He's going to get frustrated. And mentally, with a young team that might not know how to handle things, that will wear on them throughout the series. And the experience of the Knicks will serve them very much so in this finals appearance. As far as the Mets, of course, look, I've been telling you, chip away, chip away, chip away. Until you go on that long winning streak. They've won 4 in a row. They're halfway to the goal that I've always set out. You know, win 8 in a row. You get yourself back to right around 500. And then you go to work from there. So, yeah, I'm not waving the white flag. They had a successful May. Looking to have a successful June with a tough schedule. But I'm looking to have a very successful June. And then hit 4th of July weekend with the Mets in good position. That's my focus here. You know, one game, one series at a time here, and it starts with Seattle. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Kevin is in Manhattan. What's up, Kevin? All right, Kevin, we'll get back to you there. No worries at all. Let's go to Richard in Connecticut here on After Hours. What's up, Rich?
I've been a long-time Knicks fan. I've been waiting since 12 years old. This is going to be probably one of the best things that's ever going to happen. I think they're going to sweep. You know, you even said, in five, it's possible, but I think the Knicks, they just got so much depth right now. And OG, he's so underrated that I think he's going to be the MVP.
You're not the first person to call up with those points. We've had some people say it's going to be a sweep. I took a caller earlier that has a lot of some money wagered on OG winning the MVP. And look, OG is going to be a big part of the series. I think he will break Wemby. I think defensively he matches up very well with Wembanyama. And that's one of the reasons why you love the trade for OG here is because he can lock up even bigger opponents, you know, taller opponents. Ananobi is going to be a force in this series. Offensively, we know he could light it up and get you 25 points a night. Yeah, I'm as confident, as cocky as you are. I won't go as far as saying a sweep, but I do love them in five. I do love them to win the championship. I hope it's in five because then I'll be not only happy but right. But if they win in six or seven, great. I just think ultimately the Knicks are winning a championship. So get ready for the parade.
I'll get on the train.
That's right. And you know what, Rich? I appreciate it. And the train he's referring to is the great train. You know, positive Tommy, I'm always looking to get on that great train that's pulling up to the station. I'm going to the moon. I'll see you at the stars. And I always welcome my listeners to this program to jump on that train with me. There's plenty of seats. And sometimes I'm alone on that train. You know, April during the season for the Mets, I was the only one on that train. As positive Tommy in many ways was vilified, which is okay. Totally fine. I understand that positivity when things aren't going well is not exactly received the best. Like now, think about it. Now I'm being very positive with the Knicks. Oh, they'll win in five. And everybody's like, Luke, you're the best. You're right. Oh, forget five. They'll win in four. Because everything is going great. But when things are going bad and I try to inject some positivity, nobody wants to hear it. But I think when things are going poorly or not the way you want them to go, that is the time where you need positive Tommy the most. Because no one is being positive, and you need a little bit of positivity. Because when you just get engulfed in negativity, it doesn't do good for your soul. And here we are. You know, the Mets had a strong May, and let's hope they have a strong June. I'm certainly very hopeful and very optimistic and very positive about that. Won't be easy with the schedule, but this team has been playing better baseball over the last 30 days, certainly in the results. So let's continue that and let's keep it going. And as far as the Knicks, yeah, I'm cocky, I'm confident, and I'm very excited for the not only the start of the finals, but what I believe is going to be a coronation for Jalen Brunson, for this city, for this franchise, from ownership down to the guys that get in at the very end of the game. This has been a collective situation that everybody has played a hand in brick by brick. Of course, the architect, Leon Rose, building this team into what they are now and what we see in front of us. Let's go to Ram in Jersey City here on The Fan on After Hours. What's up, Ram?
Loogie, what's going on, brother?
You tell me, bro. What's happening?
Knicks in four. We continued the hot streak. We're going to sweep them right out the building. That's what I believe. And I want to tell you really quickly about what you said earlier about the peacocking. You used it as a verb. I loved it. I never heard that before.
Yeah, you're peacocking. You put your chest out and you're like a proud peacock. You're showing off your feathers. You know, got the female peacocks out there, and you're kind of doing your thing by the pool as a peacock. You know, poolside. Oh, you know, it's just the summer.
I love you.
Yeah, so that's and I love you too, Ram. And I love the audience. You know that. Yeah, you're peacocking. So now when you go to work, you put your Nick gear on and you peacock. You're walking around the pool. You got abs. You got a big barrel chest. You've done the 80s for the ladies, the curls for the girls, you got the big pipes going on, and you're doing your peacocking. That's what we are as Knicks fans right now. We're the jack guy at the pool. And there's a lot of hotties, there's a lot of baddies sitting around having a good old time. And they're waiting for us to walk by. So they go, oh, can you see that? See the tush on that guy? That's the confidence and cockiness that we should be feeling as Knicks fans. The fan focus. It's presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Wemby is a generational talent. He's going to be the face of the league. He's going to win multiple championships. I have no doubt in my mind. The young core of this Spurs team is destined for greatness. They will control this league for a decade plus. And I know the gatekeepers and the national media, they want Wemby to be crowned that guy now. They don't want Brunson and the Knicks to join the exclusive club of being champions. But I got news for them and I got news for everybody else. Going into this series, I'm not talking about for a career, but for this series, Jalen Brunson is the best player on the court. He is Captain Clutch. He is the guy that you want more than anybody in this series to have the ball in his hands at the end of the game. And whether it's the grit, the toughness, or the heart, or what this means to Jalen Brunson, his legacy, not only with this franchise, but in this city, and being a guy that's undersized and being a guy that's been overlooked, Jalen Brunson will show you in this series that he is the best player. Wemby will have his day, and when it's all said and done, will be one of the great players ever if he stays healthy because he's so gifted physically and we've never seen anything like him. But for this series, in this year, at this stage, as they meet each other on this court, Jalen Brunson is the best player in this series.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.